Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, you caught me doing some last minute prep here with Jared. Hang in there with me a second, folks. Got to hit one more click here, and I believe I have it. Did that do it? Let's go here. Yes, it did. Cool. Morning, December 6th, 2018. Thanks for joining us. And I want you to know out there how much you guys encourage me. Thank you for being part of the huddle and part of everything that's going on. And man, just every morning when I get up, I just think, man, there's so many directions I could so many directions I could go even right now. And one of the things I think one of the things I know that I hope when this show's over is that you leave here and you're thinking, that you're pondering, you're questioning. Not your faith. Certainly, I never question my faith. But I do sometimes question what I've been taught about my faith. You know, I watched the Ohio State Buckeyes. You know, Urban Meyer quit. Anybody out there that's a football fan remembers when the Ohio State Buckeyes were 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Woody Hayes made it famous. 3 yards in a cloud of dust. And that to throw a pass, Woody Hayes always thought to throw a pass was submission, giving in to the opponent. Wanted to run the ball right down their throat. Manly football. Great big offensive tackles, and offensive guards, and fullbacks. Run it right at them and make it stop us. That's how men played football. And I was thinking about Urban Meyer when he just retired. Maybe some of you, not Ohio State fans, so you certainly don't follow as closely as some of us do. But Urban Meyer retired, and he retired his last year in a quarterback who threw for more yards than any quarterback in Big Ten history, more touchdown passes than any quarterback in Big Ten history. In fact, their entire offense this year was throwing the football. I often wondered how many times Woody Hayes was rolling over in his grave as he watched the evolution of from 3 yards in a cloud of dust to, what was it, a quarterback at Ohio State threw, I think, 70 passes against Purdue, and they got beat. 70 passes in a game. Woody Hayes would go 70 the whole year and not throw 70 passes. See, wait, what are you talking about, Coach? I'm just talking about the idea that we don't really have a grasp on the big picture of really what's going on around us. That's my opinion. The way football has evolved to, like, it's almost flag football now. Just throw it and run and can run sideways and just run all over, rather than straight up and down. The evolution of football, the points that are on the scoreboard, the way the defense has changed. And I think that we are in a, I don't want this to sound sacrilegious, but we're playing 2018 football. 1915 game plans. I think there's a great comparison between the two. And the church has not evolved. I don't even like that word. The church has not kept up with the times. Now, keeping up with the times, football still blocking and tackling. And none of that ever changed. It's not changed. Ultimately, when it gets down to it, you watch football game, teams lose because they can't tackle. They don't block. That's it. No matter what else you try to do. But the game has changed, and the way the game is played is not the same, although the basics of the same. And I think it's the same in Christianity. We're playing 2018 church. Or 1928 knowledge. just where I am with it. And I appreciate the fact that you guys come back in here every morning and you let me bring some what I believe to be crazy stuff laid on the table. But I think it's really, really important. So I'm going to do a little bit of that here this morning. Honored that you would all join me before I get too deep into it. Excuse me. I just want to give a heads up that we are going back down to Panama City this weekend. Most of us are traveling Sunday. Be down there Sunday. I'll get there Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening. Be there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm going to leave out of there on Friday, and it's still about cutting up trees and moving brush, and none of that stuff has changed. And I thank Jim Kraft for organizing it. And talked to Mark Trump yesterday. Mark called me after the show because he hasn't been in the huddle for a few days because he's dealing with some physical issues. And he said, you know, Coach, I don't know how much of a – I don't know if I can work a chainsaw or not. I don't know, but I'll be there and going to help. I just appreciate all of his organization and to understand that it's that we are a team. And ultimately what I want to be able to do is put a team together in different areas where there are different coaches and different offensive coordinators in different places of America, and that you are making a difference right where you live. And every once in a while we'll come together for a big event, and 14 people coming to Panama City from many different directions. Those of you who are coming, it's going to be cold. I couldn't believe when I checked the weather forecast in Panama City all next week. On Thursday, it's going to get to 61. But other than that, it's going to be basically in the 40s and 50s the whole time we're down there. So that will change. Not going to get to do much swimming, and it will change the type of clothes that you want to bring. Remember that we're going to be sleeping on cots, sleeping bags, all that stuff, and yada, yada. If you have any questions about that, please let me know. Issue number two, again, haven't done much with the calendar, haven't thrown up on there because there isn't a whole lot going on the calendar right now because what we do kind of shuts down during the holiday seasons. Everybody wants to do ho-hos and ding-dongs and sleigh bell ringing, and it's just hard to get people enthused about that. But we are making plans beginning even in January to get back out and start blow some air back into these huddles. I heard from Bobby Lee. Bobby said, listen, I want to do one, Coach. I want to do another one up here in the Lehigh Valley. I want to do one down in Kentucky. Wherever you are, we want to come and we want to do one in your area. Let's start getting those on the schedule now. Let's say, Coach, I don't even know where to begin. Well, just begin by saying, I want to start one. I want to have a huddle and we'll help you. We're going to be in Iowa. Denny Bryan's having us up there again, the 27th, 28th, couple days up there in January. But we have some other places we'd like to come. We want to put boots on the ground. That's what we feel that is imperative, especially in this time in which we live. And so I heard from a couple guys yesterday, said, now, Coach, I'd love to do it, but just not quite ready yet. And I said, what are you waiting on, man? You know, it's going to be March before we know it. So let's get it on the schedule. Let's work towards it. If you're interested in having a huddle where you are, let us know. We'll rent the building. We'll do everything we can. We'll get the information out to our email list. We have a lot of people on our email list. We'll start with the regional huddle and try to make a difference right where you are. Anything else? I don't know. Is Jim Kraft in here today? Anything Jim would want to say about what's going on down there in Florida? I'll try to get some information. God, it's Thursday already. Jeez. Jimmy's not in here today. Doesn't look like it. We're going down there. We'd love for you to be part of it. And as I said, some of you can help us. It's going to cost us, I think, about $100 a person to have them down there for the week. We've got hats and shirts and all kinds of stuff. Christmas time, we'd like to get out to you. So, Thanks for being out there. Thanks for being in the queue. And let's dive into it. Anybody got anything for the good of the group here before we get really rolling here? Nope. Cool.
Dave, this Chad, I just was going to say that if there's anybody that, well, if they're considering doing it, but they, I had a good conversation with Tim last night. About starting a huddle or doing something there, so that I'm more than willing to offer whatever my two cents were or want it or whatever, and visit for a while and answer any questions or whatever. So you can email me and then we can move forward to texas@saltandlightbrigade.org.
All right, brother. That's what we're trying to do, Chad. And you're the man. And Tim out in Oregon. He wants to have one out in Oregon. We'd love to come out and do one in Oregon. I'm hearing from people a lot of ways. Just, hey, man, step out of the boat. Let's make it happen. Make it happen. It's important. Building that downline, everything, guys, it is, I'm just telling you, so critical. We were having a discussion before we went on the air. Larry said, you know, that made the insinuation that they're playing us for fools with all the arrests were supposed to come December the 5th, and now it's not going to be because General President Bush's funeral. It's not going to be till the 8th, yada, yada, yada. And Larry said, you know, it's just kind of delayed, 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 so it's going to be so late that we can't do anything. And I think there's probably a lot of truth in that, and I think that we have to wake up and move forward like everything depends on us. Everything depends on us. And Larry made a comment before we went on, you know, we have to help each other with each other's causes, or maybe that's not even the right word, each other's. Yeah, I suppose that's causes. And it's true. It's true. You know what part of our problem is, I really think. We really don't know what to do. And you know what? They've done such a great job, whoever they are. They've done such a great job of keeping us isolated. That, I mean, I hear all the time from people who say, Coach, is there anybody in my area? You know anybody out here? And Coach, I'm just gonna, you know, I go to church. I can't hardly stand to go to church. My church is dead, yada, yada, yada. And that's our biggest issue, I really believe. And, you know, just like Randy said yesterday, you know, he's alive and he's been alive for a while and he can't find anybody alive. That's what I wrote about today at News with Views, is the idea. I spoke about the huddle and the need to come here. But guys, if this is it, if all we do is come here and meet 5 days a week, we're no different than church. We just do church 5 days a week, and that's okay. But if it's not propelling us and moving us into some kind of action, like a rocking chair, I heard somebody say, in a rocking chair uses a lot of energy, but you don't get anywhere. And sometimes just being part of this program can give us the impression that we're doing something when we're really not. It's a great deception. Anybody comment on that? Come in here real quickly, because I'm gonna go. I got a couple places I want to go here this morning.
Hey,
yeah, yeah. So you know, it's I just got. And so much. Okay, so I heard, Jared, let's go to Webster's 1828. I got four emails yesterday about this. I'm going to share, Todd, I'm going to share your email here in a second. I got four of them that just are almost exactly like an email I got from Todd Henry. Todd, who's a former pastor, by the way. Good man. Sent me an email. I read it this morning. Really touched me. And not touch me, that's not the right word, but just kind of really hit the nail on the head. So Jared went to Webster's Dictionary. Look up masculine, Jared. Masculine. Because this is it, wasn't it, really? Masculine. I think we've looked at this before, but this was the theme I kept getting in my email. Masculine. Now, I want to stop right there before we read it. Jared, take that off the screen a second. I want to hear from some of you. If you were going to explain to your grandson what it means to be masculine, what would you tell him? I'm going to wait. Because if you can't define it, you can't do it.
Hey, Coach.
What does it mean to be masculine? They're calling it toxic masculinity. Toxic masculinity. What does it mean to be masculine? And what does it mean to be feminine? Somebody, come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
I would say to stand no matter what. To stand no matter what. I mean, whether right or wrong, whether you're on the enemy side or God's side, if you're a man, you'll stand.
If you're masculine, standing is a masculine trait. You know, I kind of chuckled, Jared, as you started speaking, because you're a Marine, and they got women around you. Can women be masculine, Jared? Man, somebody help me here.
What's honest.
Honest. That would be a masculine trait, wouldn't it? To be honest. Gut honest.
Dead okay. Honest. Absolutely.
Okay, let's try. Hey,
Coach, I can tell you what the four charges of a Christian knight are.
Oh, that'd okay. Be great, Lowell. Yeah.
Okay, number one, to be without fear in the face of your enemies. To stand brave and upright, that the Lord may love thee. To speak the truth always, even if it means your death. Protect the helpless and do no wrong.
Do that again, Lowell.
Mash. Be without fear. Be without fear in the face of your enemies.
All right.
Stand brave and upright that the Lord may love thee.
Mm-hmm.
Speak the truth always, even if it means your death. Protect the helpless and do no wrong.
Boy, truth. It comes back to that truth thing, doesn't it? Jared, Google this for me, Jared. Google Chris Bradley dies. Cancer. Columbus death. There it is. Our local weatherman. See, I hesitated what I was going to say. This. You're not allowed to tell the truth. Right? You're not allowed to tell the truth. 10 TV meteorologist Chris Bradley dies at 53 after a battle of leukemia. I'm not, Chris Bradley's probably was a great guy. Probably was. Everybody knew him, said he was just a wonderful, loving, caring individual. So I'm not here to stomp or jump on anybody's grave. But I believe a masculine man, a truthful man, a God-fearing man will speak the truth, even though it's not popular. And I was reading this article that's on the screen right here today about Chris Bradley and his husband. And it said, that says that, by the way, survived by his husband and two children they adopted and probably wonderful people. And I, you know, no matter how I say what I'm about to say, people are going to say what they want to say. Okay. Funny, because I wasn't going to talk about this, but now I'm going to talk about it. I just think it's important. TV. 10 meteorologist Chris Bradley dies at 53 after a battle with leukemia. And you go down, you read the article, and they say all these great things about what a great weatherman he was. And he was full of joy and goes to King Avenue United Methodist Church where Bradley and his family were longtime members. He survived by his husband, Jason Bradley Krause, and two children, Spencer and Maria, and goes on. And it's all really good. It's all really, 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 really good. Except, what don't they tell you? Does anybody know what they don't tell you here? Now, this, remember, hey, Lowell, what's masculine? What are those again, Lowell? I want to hear those again because I think this is critical that we would say this. If Chris Bradley had died of drunk driving, we would hear people today talking about don't drink and drive. If Chris Bradley had died from a drug overdose, we would hear people today talking about don't take drugs. If Chris Bradley had taken a gun and killed himself, we would have people today speaking against suicide. We would be speaking the truth in love so that others learn and don't make the same mistakes. To me, that would be something that a masculine man would do. Read those again for us, Lowell.
Be without fear in the face of your enemies. Stand right. Brave and upright that the Lord may love thee. Speak the truth always, even if it means your death. Protect the helpless and do no wrong.
Okay, so I see this about Chris Bradley, and I read all the way down there. We're down here at the bottom now. It says he was a great dad. I don't doubt any of this. This is not directed to Chris Bradley. He's a great dad. The kids just adored him. His husband said he fell ill in March of 2017 when he thought he had the flu, but it turned into an aggressive strain of leukemia. His best hope for recovery was a bone marrow transplant. He had it, and it didn't work. Instead, he endured 5 rounds of chemotherapy, a stem cell transplant, clinical trials, and immunotherapy. By the fall, doctors had run out of options, compelling him to announce on November 18th that he was entering hospice care. I don't think I've ever seen anybody fight harder than him. Jerry Revish said, one of the guys at a station, on down. Great, great guy. Chris Bradley's a great guy. Okay. He's a great guy. What don't they tell you in this article? Does anybody know what they don't tell you?
He had AIDS.
This leukemia is AIDS-related leukemia. Now, why wouldn't they tell us that? What, folks, why wouldn't they tell us that? And am I wrong to point it out? That you can be a great guy. You can be a great guy. Is David Arthur in here? I don't know if David's in here. He's probably on the road. Excuse me. You can be a great guy. Yeah, you can. And die from AIDS. And it's behavior related. Now, I'm going to hear from Right Wing Watch. I'm going to have people say all kinds of things. How can you talk about him that way? Folks, I'm just telling. Somebody help me here. Am I missing something? Lowell. Would that be what?
Well, let me just say the heartbreaking. Let me back you up on this, Coach. The heartbreaking thing about his death, it is sin that killed him.
It's sin that killed him, Lowell. I'm sorry he's dead. I'm sorry he's dead. He was probably a great guy. I'm not celebrating. I'm not saying God hates fags. I'm not jumping up and down saying you got what he deserved. I'm not saying any of that. Probably was a great man. Loving, caring man.
It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to see it.
It is heartbreaking. You know what else is heartbreaking? His church, if we go on down there, the United Methodist, King Avenue United Methodist Church, I think where he was an active member, it says in it, they're complicit in this. They're complicit in saying that it's okay. It's not okay. Lowell, sin killed him.
Hey, Coach.
And also, Coach, when they drop that piece of information, it immediately reframes and changes the image of the guy. They can't have that. He's already painted, and everybody believes in one thing. And if you take it, if that just changes everybody's perspective.
Hey, it's just another fact of reality too. Just like with George Herbert Walker Bush being Episcopalian and even. Support. Actually, he was a witness at his request at the first marriage ceremony performed by the Episcopalian Church to two lesbian women marrying each other. George H. Walker Bush asked to be a witness because one of those women was a friend of his. He asked to be a witness at that marriage. So you can't say he didn't know what the Episcopal position was, but United Methodist is one of those CUIC churches. Nothing that evil happens in those confines surprises me because I understand what their bottom line of spirituality is. It is anti-Christ.
Amen. I continue to be amazed by the Holy Spirit because Larry's directing me. Where I think the Holy Spirit wanted me to go, right? Hey, Jared, Google in there real quick to see if you can so that you folks don't think I'm lying. Google AIDS-related leukemia and see if they tell you the name of it, Jared. AIDS-related leukemia. See what comes up. What's the name of it? AIDS-related, try that one. See if that tells you the name of it. It's lymphoma. There it is. Let's see. Trying to find the name of it because they mention the name of the leukemia that he has and don't tell you in it. It doesn't matter. We don't need to get bogged down on it, right? We don't need to. Try it. But it tells you the exact name of his disease. Jared, go back to the obituary and see if it doesn't tell us what the type of cancer that he had was. It's up near the top, maybe. There it is. Let's see. Battle with acute myeloid leukemia. Myeloid leukemia.
That's it. That's what he had.
Yes. And you'll find the myeloid. I don't. Wikipedia doesn't talk about it either because they don't want to talk. They don't want. You know, Wikipedia can be a great source sometimes. This is not a good source on this one, Jared. It's not acute myeloid leukemia. There it is. What's that say, Jared? Acute myeloid leukemia in patients infected with HIV. There it is. Oh, his death was AIDS-related leukemia. I don't rejoice. Why don't they tell us the truth? Because whoever it was said they're right. Because the narrative would change everything. If they just called it leukemia, the poor guy died of cancer. Oh, he just got cancer and died. No, it appears to me he acquired it. He acquired the cancer somehow along the way, right? Okay, let me get off this. Save my.
You with me? Hey, Coach.
Yes.
That just to let you know, you're talking about being courageous. We went along with a courageous pastor. That's the church we went into, the King Avenue United Methodist Church.
right,
with about 250 of them in the basement of that place. And Pastor Bill stood up, and that's what he explained to him in the middle of the service, that it is a sin. And boy, it was not well received there.
Well, Jeff, it's not even spoken of sin in the regular church. You got to go back to Webster's 1828 real quick. I'm feeling here. So masculine is having the qualities of a man, strong and robust, resembling man, opposed to delicate or soft. Wow. Bold and brave. In grammar, masculine gender of a word is that which expresses a male or something analogous to it. Okay. Or it is the gender appropriated to males, though not always expressing the male sex. Masculine qualities. What's feminine, Jerry? Coarse. Feminine. Pertaining to a woman or a woman or to females or as a first. Wow. The first. How about this? Feminine. The first syllable may be and probably is from the whim or womb. By the use of F or W, the B not being radical. The last part of the word is probably from man, quasi feminine, womb man, pertaining to a woman or to women, to females as a female sex. Soft, tender, delicate, / pastor. Soft, tender, delicate, / pastor. So as soon as they made pastors women, soon as they made pastors sissy men, then it was okay to bring women. The way I see it. Effeminate, destitute of manly quality. This is 1828 Webster. Okay? Destitute of manly quality. What were manly qualities again, Jared? Let's go back to masculine. What were manly qualities? Resembling coarse, opposed to delicate or soft, bold, brave, spirit of courage. All right. That's good. So Todd Henry sent me an email. I've known Todd for, I go back a long way with Todd. And I know Todd wouldn't mind if I shared this. I would never embarrass him. So here's what Todd wrote to me this morning. He said, "Hey, coach, some great huddles this week. Roger and I attended that meeting at Kanawha High School. Went pretty good. I'll fill you in later. Roger and Weaver and Todd Henry, they live in the same town. I've been piecing together some thoughts this week about the common thing that you bring up in the huddle all the time. Where is the courage?" That is it, isn't it? That's pretty much our common theme. The underlying theme, where's our courage? Where are the men? And what in the hell is going on in many of our churches? So he says, let me throw out here 2 Timothy chapter 2. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men." Masculine quality, Lowell. Faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Downline huddles. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Wow. "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Wow. So Todd gives some observations. Verse 2. There's a downline that you've been talking about. Amen. Let's go back to verse 2. What is verse 2, Jared? "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou also to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." There's your downline. 3, men are really built to be soldiers. Verse 3, go back there, Jared. Oh, this is really good. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Wow. And much love in there, is there, boys? 4, when a man who is supposed to be at war gets entangled with the affairs of this life or civilian life, much is lost. verse 4. Read that, Jared. No man gets so wrapped up in the world that he can't do what he's really been called to do. That's what Todd's saying. That's what it says. No man that gets caught up in his job and losing his job, and you can't fight. You can't fight that way. You can't do it. Back down, Jared. Many churches are extending invitations to men to get involved. Be an usher or a greeter or lead a home group. Or, hey, let's do some random acts of kindness. Yeah, that's it. But where is the church that is calling men to be soldiers? Where is that church? So if they do get some men in the front door, while they are supposed to be taking on the role of a soldier, but instead engage in a bunch of soft, easy, comfortable activities that really is more like a civilian setting. Oh, Todd, this is so good. Rather than a battle. Civilian setting. They're in a civilian setting rather than a battleground. Then men lose their sense of identity of being a man and a soldier. I have to repent because I was part of that system for a while. The pastor really is the one who has to affect change in this area. Makes me think of the real world of U.S. soldiers. Jared, he's talking to you and anybody out there that's a veteran. Think back to your soldiering days and how they are fulfilling their purpose when they are on the battlefield. But when they come home and try to reacclimate to civilian life, many of them have a lot of trouble. Yeah.
On that note, they struggle to reacclimate to civilian life because civilian life means become a woman.
Amen, brother. Amen. That's it. Todd says there are over 20 veterans committing suicide in America every day. Why? Because they can't be molded back. They were a soldier and now they've been. Wow. I wonder if there's such a thing as spiritual veterans committing spiritual suicide. That's a mic drop right there, baby. Are there spiritual veterans in the church committing spiritual suicide? Is that why they're being drawn to porn and meaningless thing and giving their lives to stuff that doesn't matter? They're just a form of suicide. Because anyway, I'm sure there are many soldiers who would rather give it all on the battlefield than to return to a soft civilian lifestyle, knowing there's still a battle raging and an enemy to defeat. No doubt the huddle is reaching many of these sleeping giants. Wow. Amen, Todd. Amen. I'll leave you with this. He says, I've been enjoying the huddle for some time now, but I also realize the game isn't won standing in the huddle. I'll leave you with this. All ships look majestic in the harbor, but they were not built for the harbor. Wow. I feel you, Todd. I feel you, Todd. I feel you, Todd. My, folks. That's the Reformation, isn't it? Isn't that it? Man. Okay. Jared, play this bit. How much time? Yeah, go ahead, play it. This is old. I've heard this is 15 years old, probably. This was done by Eric Lundy. The last one in Jared, it's a war cry. It's called Rock Chizok. Some of you have heard it. But this is the spirit, I believe, that we are speaking to that is missing into the church, that is drawing some of you back day after day after day. You don't even know what it is. Go ahead and play it, Jared.
Rock Chizok.
Where's our war cry? We don't even know that we're at war. We don't understand that we're in hostile territory. This isn't a time of peace. It's against the principalities and the powers that are puppeteering the people. And we are in a position to see souls set free. This has been the ancient war cry throughout all the generations of the Hebrew nation. Rock! Kasak! Where does it come from? Kasak. This is the Hebrew. The rock-like oomph of the spiritually zealous heart. The game face of a mighty man. tenacity of soul, the gritting of the teeth of the spirit-inspired warrior, and the baring of those teeth to the enemy. Kasach is possessing a resolute and growling resolve for the glory of God, a flush of spiritual fervor, a tensing of all a soldier's muscles. There's a Kasach. We don't have that spiritually. We should. We don't. Because we don't know what we're engaged with. Did you know that you have the armory of heaven? That you have everything you need for life and godliness to push the enemy forces back? And so when you hear Kasach, your knuckles spiritually should immediately turn white. And you should find yourself gritting your spiritual teeth with a belligerence against the enemy. He goes down. There are souls that must be saved. Okay, that's just Kasach. The Hebrew statement is Rock Kasach. However, in the Bible, where that came from, it's Kasach Emots. The other word that goes with it, Emots. It's heavenly audacity. It's rushing headlong into the most hazardous and impossible battles without pausing to consider the impossibilities. Who had Emots in the Bible? David against Goliath? That's some serious Emots. Okay, he's rushing headlong against a Goliath. It's like, David, we might want to think about this a little. No, I'm not weighing the impossibilities. This is for my God. It's a confidence in victory even before the field is taken. It's lambs moving with liquid ferocity straight into the lion's lair. How about the three that overheard him in the cave of Adullam? Says, oh, for a cup of cool water from the well of Bethlehem. Those guys had a Emots. They go running out, break through a garrison of Philistines to grab a cup of cool water and then bring it back through the garrison. They're being hunted by Philistines the whole time, trying not to spill a cup of water. That's the Emots. Mere men and women on earth are eaten up by the enemy. However, we're not just mere men and women of this earth. We are redeemed. We are bought with a price, and we have been changed into the body of Christ. Emots means swift-footed, all-believing, super-conquering, prevailing faith in the Lord of battles. What happens to the world if Christians once again get Kasach and Emots? You know what the apostles had after Pentecost? Something came into them. What was it? You can say it very simply. Kasach and Emots. Spirit of God. He came in to win. He came in to turn this world on its head. Moses' last gasp. This is his great speech before the promised land, which he never got to enter into. And he's laying out the ground rules for the kingdom that is about to be established across that Jordan River. Be strong and of good courage. Kasach, Emots. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that does go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Kasach, Emots. Be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Well, what's happening there? The men and women of God are coming to take what was purchased, the promise. You are surrounded by 31 hostile empires. You know, that's what they were headed into, 31 empires on the other side of that Jordan River, 31. This is where we are at as the Church of Jesus Christ. Yet we are there without a war cry. Let's understand that we are out to win for the glory of Jesus Christ. And even if we die, we win. Doesn't matter what happens to our bodies. We obey, God wins. Now suddenly we're crossing. Joshua is the same name for Jesus in the New Testament, by the way. Yeshua. This is the Savior, the man of salvation, who has come in to bring us into the inheritance. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Rock Kasach. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Rock Kasach, Israel. Rock Kasach, men and women of God Almighty. all the powers of earth and hell that come against your soul, and all the powers of earth and hell that are puppeteering the lost masses, you hit them square in the teeth. And you show love to this world, to anyone who would spit in your face. You serve them and you love them in return and say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Rock-a-sock, Israel.
See, the problem is, I just saw it right there. I just saw it. The American church has been taught there's nothing to conquer. Nothing to be conquered. The devil's going to win. We win in the end. Jesus returns. He takes the ball. He goes home. We no longer have anything to conquer. That's what's happened to us. Yeah.
A question. What does hating sin look like?
Mm-hmm. What does it look like?
Right.
What does it look like? Great question, isn't it?
I suggest it might look like the results of true repentance, godly repentance, as in chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians. The eagerness, your back gets stiff and you go to war against it. That's what it is.
Yep. Love protects. You can't love and not protect. You can't love, folks, listen to me. You can't love and not fight. You just can't. Love is what propels you to fight. And every day, I'm not making it up, man. Every day, those little kids, every day I look at them. That propels me to fight. But you know what? A lot of my fights, words, right? Just verbal. Just fight. Just fight. Christians don't fight. Christians are, we're doormats. Christians are, you know, well. Rock a sock. Rock a sock.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
And you know, just like you just showed that video, Pastor Bill has used that with men in our church. And there have been some of these men, you know, you've been there and seen it. Some of these men are so sissified in the wussification of men, we could only get a handful of guys out of, say, 30, 40 men. The other ones, it didn't even fire them up. But there was a few that video flat fired them up and want to do something. But that's just America today.
Well, Jeff, let me tell you this truth. I know this from firsthand experience. I'd give some fiery speeches before football games in the locker room, but before the game, I'd have those guys ready to run through a wall. They'd run out on that field, and their heart's beating fast, and their energy level's high, and the ball's kicked off, and they run down the field, and somebody knocks them straight on their ass. All that, it goes out, man. All that goes out the window. All that courage leaves.
Amen.
So, you know, I can show a video here, fires everybody up. But if it doesn't propel us into action, it's just entertainment. And I wish I had a greater plan. I've always told you, I'm constantly telling you guys, I wish I had a better plan. Because I don't believe, if we're waiting on the church, if you're waiting on that thing down the street, if you're waiting for those people who are sitting comfortably in this inside their stained glass fortresses to come out, when we ain't never going to win. They're waiting to go home. They've already admitted defeat.
Amen.
Drives me every day. Every day. Anybody? I'm going to shift gears on here real quick.
Just a reminder that we are the body and Jesus is the head. And mm-hmm. Without Jesus' direction, we're just going to be running around like a chicken with its head off. Jesus is the one that's going to give us the direction and the power.
Well, we got to go, and he'll show up. Jared, pull up that pictures of the president. I look down, I got 15 minutes left. I got to finish this up today because I got to be able to sleep tonight. No, I did it. I'm showing you this for a reason. This is president. This is 1 minute and 9 seconds. President and his wife walking into George Bush's funeral yesterday. I want you to see something. Go ahead.
I don't believe we've seen yet there.
There's President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump entering at 10:48. The ceremony's about to begin in about 10 minutes from now.
They are the last to arrive before the family.
There's
your swamp. The 41st president.
There's your swamp.
John Meacham, who will eulogize the president tonight, today, I should say, asked President Bush how he wanted to be remembered. And Meacham said he didn't pause, and he avoided, as ever, the first-person pronoun, which his mother used to call the great I am, and replied that we put the country first.
Yeah, he did. I could go on that one. Keep going right there, Jared. Well, go. No, I'm sorry. Let go. I want you to see something that we'll probably never, ever see again in our lifetime. Freeze that right there, Jared. With the guy that's dead, George H.W. Bush, one. His son is going to give him a eulogy, two. Jimmy Carter, three. Bill Clinton, four. Obama, five. Six presidents of the United States in the same room at the same time. You'll probably never see that again. We'll never see that again in our lifetime. I would think. I don't know if you ever will. But I want you to think about this. President Trump is receiving all kinds of criticism today because they, in this fake church that they're in, this Episcopal church, they recite the Apostles' Creed. And President Trump, for whatever reason, I don't know, neither he nor Melania recited the Apostles' Creed. By the way, I don't know the last time was I recited the Apostles' Creed. And you see, all across the media today, they're criticized. Who is? All those Christians, those God hate, those never Trump Christians will not let it go. So I'm supposed to think that Barack Obama is a Christian because he says the Apostles' Creed. I'm supposed to believe Bill Clinton's a Christian because he says the Apostles' Creed. Jimmy Carter claimed to be a Christian. He was a liberal Christian, and they hated Jimmy Carter. Let there be no doubt about it. And because President Dick Cheney, look at that snake sitting behind there. Form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Look at anybody sitting on that front row, and you tell me one that stood up boldly and defended the name of Christ. Give me one of them that stood up and boldly defended the name of Christ. No, sir. They sure didn't. They sure didn't. Jimmy Carter.
Dave,
born again.
Dave,
yeah. Yeah.
That's what bothers me about this whole Bush thing. Think of the hundreds, if not thousands, of public opportunities he had to call out the name of Christ.
Amen.
You couldn't find one. But yet, in the privacy and the quietness of a meeting with somebody, he's a believer. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches, if you deny me, I deny you. And look at the opportunity that Bush had. My goodness.
Amen. Amen, Roger. And you know what? He said in an interview when he was running for president of the United States, they asked him about being a Christian. He says, what do you mean? I've had some road to Damascus experience. No, I haven't had one of those. Well, then you're not born again, dude. And so we have this facade again, this phony Christianity. You understand? You understand how they're playing us for fools? And we're looking and we're thinking, Hillary and Bill are Christians. Give me a break. Obama, a Christian? Give me a break. And then people gripe and moan because we support Trump. Well, he's not a Christian. He didn't even say the Apostles' Creed.
You can say it, but if there's no anointing, it's
you don't believe it, you can say whatever you want to. You don't mean it.
Well, I don't necessarily need a Bible banger in the White House. But come on, 40 years of public service and you've never mentioned the name Jesus Christ? Come on.
Come on. Hey, Roger. And the Muslim. You got the Muslim saying the Apostles' Creed. Right? Words, man. Just words. That's all it is. That's all it is. Okay, I'm going to, you know me, I got to finish up a little tinfoil hat stuff. I'd be okay if I do. I'm on a relentless pursuit of the truth. And I know, just like in the natural world, We don't know the truth about a lot of things. We talked about them yesterday, the conspiracies. We don't know the truth about a lot of things. And I'm here to tell you that we don't know the truth about a lot of things in our spirit walk either. We don't. And you know what else I know? I have something inside of me called the Holy Spirit of God. He lives inside me. And that Holy Spirit of God guides me into all truth. So therefore, I'm not afraid to read something. Because when I read it, some things sound true and some things don't quite witness with me. I want Simon Owen to know that I went to bed last night before I fell asleep. I was reading the Sefer. And I just opened it up. And I was reading Enoch 105. Enoch. I thought, oh my goodness. Are you guys sitting down? You sitting down? Wow. After a time, my son Methuselah took a woman for his son Lamech, and she became pregnant by him and brought forth a child. Hey, listen. If you think I'm reading something that's apostate, go ahead, turn it off. Go say the Apostles' Creed for a while. She became pregnant by him and brought forth a child, the flesh of which was as white as snow and red as a rose. And the hair of whose head was white like wool and long, and whose eyes were beautiful. Talking about this baby born white. When he opened his eyes illuminated all the house like the sun. The whole house abounded with light. And when he was taken from the hand of the midwife, Lamech, his father, became afraid of his child. And flying away, came to his own father, Methuselah, and said, I've begotten a son that's unlike anything else. He's not of men, but resembling the offspring of the angels of heaven, is of a different nature, being altogether unlike us. He takes his son to his grandfather, Methuselah, says, I never seen anything like this, Dad. What's going on? His eyes are as like the ray of sun, his countenance glorious, and he looks not as if he belonged to me, but to the angels. I'm afraid that something miraculous should take place on earth in his days. And now, my father, let me entreat and request unto you to go to your progenitor, Enoch, and learn from him the truth. For his residence is with the angels. So Methuselah heard the words of his son. He came to me at the extremities of the earth, for he had heard. He came to the extremities of the earth, for he had been informed that I was there, and he cried out. I heard his voice, and he went unto him, saying, Behold, I am here, my son, since you've come to me. And he answered and said, On account of a great event have I come to you, and on account of a slight difficulty have I approached you. And now, my father, hear me, for to my son, Lamech, a child's been born who resembles not him, and whose nature is not like the nature of man. His color is whiter than snow, is redder than the rose. The hair of his head is whiter than white wool. His eyes are like the rays of sun. And when he opened them, he illuminated the whole house. And when he also was taken from the hand of the midwife, his father, Lamech, feared and fled to me, believing not what belonged to him, but that he resembled the angels of heaven. And behold, I am come to you, that you might tell me what's going on here. And Janik answered and said, Yahuwah will effect a new thing upon the earth. This have I explained and see in a vision. I've shown you that in the generations of Jared, my father, those who were from heaven disregarded the word of Yahuwah. Behold, they committed crimes. Talking about the human beings. They committed crimes, laid aside their class, and they intermingled with women, talking about the angels. With them also they transgressed, married with them, and begat children who are not like spiritual beings, but creations of flesh. A great destruction, therefore, shall come upon all the earth. A deluge. Listen to this, folks. A great destruction shall come. Because why? They created not spiritual beings, but creatures of flesh. A great destruction, therefore, shall come upon the earth. A deluge, a great destruction shall take place in 1 year. And this child, which is born to your son, shall survive on the earth. And his three sons shall be saved with him. When all mankind who are on the earth shall die, and he shall be saved, and his posterity shall beget on the earth's giants. not spiritual, but carnal, upon the earth shall a great punishment be inflicted, and it shall be washed from all corruption. Now, therefore, listen. Therefore, inform your son Lamech that he who is born in his child in truth, and he shall call his name Noah, for he shall be to you a survivor, and he and his children shall be saved from the corruption which shall take place in the world, for all the sin and from all the iniquity which shall be consummated on the earth in his days. My goodness. I could go on, but I'm not going to go on. Data, Mark Trump. Data. In them I saw it written, the generation after generation shall transgress until a righteous race shall arrive, until transgression and crime perish from the earth, till all goodness come upon it. Now, my son, go tell your son Lamech that the child which is born is his child in truth, and that there is no deception. When Methuselah heard the word of his father Chanuk, who had shown him every secret thing, he returned with understanding and called the name of that child Noah, because he was to console the earth on account of all its destruction. I couldn't hardly go to sleep. Somebody help me out here.
Coach?
And you know what? I hate to tell you this. That knower in my heart, and some of that's true. Go ahead.
I was going to say, well, that's how the ark got built. All he had to do was open his eyes and lit it up.
Isn't that something? Huh? They named Noah. They named Noah before they named him Noah because the flood was coming. They knew. Did you guys ever know that? Did you say, well, that's not true? That's the book of Enoch. That's made up. All right. And did you know that Enoch was at one point part of the sacred canon and was removed?
Forget about Enoch. Go listen to Beth Moore. Let's see what she has to say.
There we are, brother. There we are. See, that's exactly the point, isn't it? People will say, you can't read that. You can't read that. That's extra biblical. But you'll read Beth Moore. You'll read Joyce Meyer.
Just a simple point of historical fact. King James Version used to have Enoch.
Huh? What has been hidden from us, folks, and why has it been hidden? And let us remember that the scripture itself tells us that there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. And I know that that was just hard to swallow. It was hard to swallow. But we sure don't have any, we don't have any trouble following John Darby and his dispensationism, do we? We sure don't have any trouble following him. And C.I. Schofield, we don't have any trouble following those guys. Enoch, no. Don't follow Enoch because there's a rapture coming. There's a rapture coming. And here's where I am, boys. I don't care about you, but I'm going to dig into it. And I'm going to let the Holy Spirit guide me into all truth, because if it isn't true, I want to know it. And if it is true, I want to know it. I'm on a relentless pursuit of the truth. Man, oh man, oh man. Ding dong, the witch is dead. I don't grieve over George H.W. Bush today. I don't. Maybe I'll do a show on that and explain all that to you. Part of this secret cabal, part of this mess that we got into, part of this hiding all the truth from us, all of it. Nothing hidden that will not be revealed. What a time to be alive.
Dave, one of the things I said after he died is that the world's a safer place now.
The world's a safer place now, brother. The world's a safer place. Lord, reveal unto us the truth, Lord. Guide us into all truth. Let your Holy Spirit do that. Bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow.